good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 1st of June, 2021. It's a Tuesday class. So we'll be continuing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, Teachings from the Adapted Verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We are at page 2.4. As usual, we will have our half an hour of awareness based meditation. So we will off the light, then you all can commence your meditation. Before I forgot, we also supposed to wish Dr. Jayanta a happy belated birthday. His birthday was yesterday. So he told us, see us tonight. I saw him just now. That's why I remember. So, Dr. Jan, once again, wishing you a happy and blessed birthday. Okay, so now we can commence the meditation now. Awareness based meditation. I will set the alarm. Then remember the four support. Relax body and mind. Silent everything. Maintain awareness for as long as you can. So after that, you can just relax, maintain awareness, and develop the understanding to just stabilize the awareness. No need to do anything. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Just silent. Then whatever arises, let it arise. Maintain awareness, just be aware until that silent mind come back to you, until all the sankhara activity, the thinking, the mundane thinking slow down and become very still. The mind will return to its original state of silent awareness within, without thought. That is your true mind. That is your meditative mind. That is what you need to realize. When you are with that, you are just aware, nothing else. And that awareness is beyond thought, beyond mind. And that awareness can meditate, can understand many things. So use that to develop the awareness, the understanding. The awareness can allow you to observe silently, without any verbalization or chattering. It's through this silent awareness that observe we can develop wisdom and understanding. And this silent awareness also can allow us to insight in the phenomena and awaken. The silent mind that observe will understand many things. So this understanding, which is beyond thought, beyond mind, can liberate our mind and let us understand the reality of life and existence, the secret of life, who we are, what we are, how we function as a human being, what the mundane mind is all about, how our mind stir and react through delusion, through wrong view, through Sakaya Ditti. So all this we will develop understanding. Okay? We are following this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, Teachings from the Adapted Verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. Page 254. Since everyone already had a pure and tranquil Tathagata nature, this one is very important. Each and every living being, we actually have this pure, tranquil Tathagata nature, or what we call it, the Buddha nature. This is our true nature within each and every living being. We have that. But living beings' problem is because of long period of delusion, ignorance, that nature has been clouded by our emotion, by our thought process, by the mundane mind. So we have forgotten that we had a nature within that is just the way that is capable of insight, the normal awakened development of wisdom, etc. That pure nature is tranquil, still, peaceful, fully aware. It will only be affected when something come and disturb it, cause it to stir, cause it to move, cause it to manifest the mundane mind. Then when the mundane mind arise through wrong view, through delusion, living being attached and cling and hold and give meaning, then they believe that that mundane mind that arise, the five mental aggregates of form and mind, which is the thought process, is what they are. So they cling on to the five aggregates of form and mind, thereby overlooking their pure, tranquil Tathagata nature. So this is a very important understanding. I read again, then you can have better understanding now. So the sutta say, since everyone already has a pure and tranquil Tathagata nature or Buddha nature, then why do we need to look for the Dhamma outside of ourselves? Because we have that nature within. So if you look within from that nature, everything arises. Then we will understand. This is because our inner nature is fettered by affliction and habitual tendency. So this one is easy to understand. Affliction arises because of our wrong view, Sakkaya Ditthi, self-delusion, ignorance. That's why human being has a lot of affliction or suffering or misery or emotion, negativity or mental state. Then it conditions habitual tendencies. So affliction and habitual tendency trapped by endless layers of ignorance means continuous stirring of mind born of ignorance. Endless means over the long period of aeons and aeons of birth and death. Therefore, we must eradicate our own ignorance, correct our beliefs, or straighten our views, thereby enabling us to change our bad habits or negative habitual tendency. I often say that having superstition or superstitious belief is worse than having no belief, which is very true. If you are an atheist, you are much better than those who cling on to belief without understanding. Because when you believe without understanding, it's called blind faith. But when you have faith because you understand through understanding, then that is not blind faith. That's why for us as Buddhists, we have faith in the Buddha and his teaching because we don't believe what he says. We don't just believe the teaching. We put them to test, we investigate on them. Then we come to realize how unique a being the Buddha is. He's not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened, blessed in virtue and wisdom. We can say when he was born into this world 2,000 years ago, he was the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. And to have such a great being to be our teacher and our guide, we will have a lot of gratitude towards him. We will cherish all this. So the respect and gratitude come from understanding, it's not blind faith. Then we also came to realize that his teaching is so powerful, so beautiful, can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now, can liberate our mind, can free our mind from all suffering. Suffering need not be. We need not be miserable or unhappy anymore. such a teaching is very rare and difficult to find. So because of that, we do not hold and believe. We develop the faith through understanding. So it's not blind faith. It's not just being gullible, believing what people say or what the holy books say. No. We investigate into it. We come to an understanding. Then we develop the faith. From there we move. That's how the spiritual faculty comes about. So with faith, it will drive us to cultivate. And when satta, which is faith, and virya, which is the spiritual zeal, arise, then we will cultivate. We will develop the most important mind state, which is sati, or mindfulness. So we need to meditate. And mindfulness is to realize the silent mind, the true mind, our true nature within, that which was described, the pure, tranquil, Tathagata nature or Buddha nature. So this is what meditation is all about. When we understand this, we will understand life, we will understand how to meditate. So this part, having superstitious belief is worse than having no belief, refers to the blind faith. I often say that having superstitious belief is worse than having no belief. So this one you can understand now. All kinds of superstitions are formed when we do not have proper understanding or mindsets. This leads to our mind being covered by ignorance or wrong view. Then we become lost in the pursuit of materialistic wealth, in satisfying our sexual desire, etc., our craving. In order to eliminate ignorance and return to our original pure nature, we must extensively learn this teaching. Extensive learning benefits our wisdom if we can accept what is being taught. As our wisdom grows, our ignorance naturally diminish. That's why when you straighten your view, you will have less wrong view. And less wrong view means less avijja, less ignorant. So when you have less avijja, less ignorant, then you will not think. We are the first two links of the paticca-samuppada. The dwelling is avijja paccaya sankhara. So when avijja or ignorance is weakened, or attenuated, then sankhara also become less and slowly cease to be. That's why you can root out thinking of sankhara activity. Then stay with your true mind. Realize the true mind, the silent mind. Therefore, we must accept and believe in the Buddha's teachings. Even though the Buddha is no longer in the human realm, the Buddha Dhamma is always there, even before the rising of the Buddha, because the Buddha Dhamma is true, nature's truth. So Buddha Dhamma will remain in the world for as long as we follow this virtuous teaching. We must not only listen, but also faithfully accept them and put them into practice and also investigate into them. Without listening, our wisdom will not grow. This one is easy to understand. Listening can give rise to first turning wisdom, leading to Sutta Mayapanya. Wisdom born of constant listening to the suttas or discourse as taught by the Buddha or proclaimed by the Buddha. Today, we cultivate listening and wisdom to both understand the meaning and contemplate our mind. So contemplation is second turning wisdom. If we cannot listen to and learn the proper understanding or belief or right view of the Buddha Dhamma, our wisdom will not be able to grow. After listening to Dhamma, we need to put it into practice in order to clearly understand its principles. Means to arise the right understanding. Then we will continuously give rise to wholesome thought and elevate our wisdom. In this way, deviant teachings will not be able to confuse our mind. So this part is beautiful. Okay, we will continue on to the second adapted verse. Steadfastly uphold proper faith. See, you need to have the faith, sadha, born of understanding. Then we must have vows, and we must practice or cultivate and resolve to sustain our initial aspiration. With a mind that is one with the Buddha, go among people and guide them into the right path of course. Do not waver even slightly towards deviant. Do not waver even slightly towards deviant thoughts, strong thought. Then no evil or demons can invade your mind. Means your mind must be very, very stable. Means in equanimity, the unwavering mind. The collected and unwavering mind. Means the mind has samadhi. Then when it develops wisdom, it has equanimity. Since we have resolved to learn the Buddha's way, we must steadfastly keep our mind focused on having proper faith, sadha, vows, and practice, and firmly hold on to our initial aspiration. Means when we plant the seed of Bodhi to go this way, the Bodhisattva way. It is often said, sustain your initial aspiration and you will easily attain Buddhahood. True. You can sustain your Bodhisattva vow. Means the initial aspiration to go this way, to walk the path of the Bodhisattva, to plant the seed of Bodhi, the Bodhi mind. Then you will easily attain Buddhahood. If we can maintain the fervent of our initial resolve, and day after day, month after month, years after years, even for the whole life, diligently carry out the aspiration, then we will successfully walk this broad path of spiritual cultivation, which is the Bodhisattva way. However, a single deviant thought can often lead people's life wildly astray. So you have to be careful, tactful. Because a single deviant thought can often lead people's life wildly astray. Thus, we must be very clear about our values and our direction. That's why we need sincerity, we need faith, and we need to persevere. Our mind must be one with the Buddha, and we must act in accordance with the Dhamma, means following the Dhamma way, when we go among people. Then in our interaction with others, we can guide them into the right path. As long as our mind remains firmly grounded in proper faith, vows and practice, and are not even slightly inclined towards giving rise to deviant thought, no evil and demon can invade our mind. As we go into the world amidst many suffering and afflicted sentient beings, it is certainly not easy to uphold our aspiration to engage in spiritual practice and steadfastly move forward in the right direction. This is very true. Initially, when you go this way, you will come to realize this. That's why I read this again, so that you all can understand. As we go into the world, means into existence, into life, into society, amidst many suffering and afflicted sentient beings, where there are a lot of living beings who suffer, who are afflicted. It is certainly not easy to uphold our aspiration to engage in spiritual practice and steadfastly move forward in the right direction. Because when you see the number of deluded beings having to go through suffering, afflictions, then it is really not easy. We will come to this realization unless we have faith, very strong determination and faith. Then we are very sincere. Then we need to persevere. Otherwise, we can't fulfill our vows. We can't finish off this book. The path of cultivation, cultivating the Bodhisattva path or the Bodhisattva way, demands a lot of patience, a lot of understanding, a lot of faith, sincerity, and resolve, even perseverance. Patient endurance, Kanti. So I read on. Our mind must be one with the Buddha, and we must act in accordance with the Dhamma when we are among people. This one is very important. If you cannot be in this manner, then it's not easy for you to cultivate and move forward. We act in accordance with the Dhamma means go the Dhamma way. And our mind, we have to cultivate until it is one with the Buddha's mind. Means you must realize your Tathagata nature, your Buddha nature, your pure intrinsic Tathagata nature. Then in our interaction with others, we can guide them onto the right path, which is true. As long as our mind remains firmly grounded in proper faith, this is very important, vows and practices, and are not even slightly inclined towards giving rise to deviant thoughts, no evil or demons can be able to invade our mind. Now we will go back to that part. As we go into the world amidst many suffering and afflicted suffering beings, just now we have gone through this part. It is certainly not easy to uphold our aspiration to engage in spiritual practice and steadfastly move forward in the right direction. So this one I have explained. I remember one year when I visited Ping Tong, the local volunteers told me about a charity care recipient that illustrates this. There was a woman in her 60s named Miss Li from Hebei, China. Although she had a family in her hometown, two sons and a daughter, more than 10 years ago, she chose to abandon her husband and children to come to Taiwan. Here, she married an army veteran who was 20 years older than she was. They did not have any children together, and because their financial situation was not good, she had to work to cover their household expense. She had to turn all of her earnings over to her husband, and she had no say in how the money that she earned was spent. Her life was not easy, very difficult. One year, she was diagnosed with ovary cancer. Following surgery, her health did not improve. When she went back the following year for a checkup, it was discovered that she was suffering from multiple rare illnesses, including myeloma, heart disease, and other serious conditions. Her breathing would sometimes suddenly stop, so the doctor instructed her to wear an oxygen mask every night. She relied on a large amount of sleeping pill to fall asleep. That year, her husband also left her. Her situation was unbearably painful. Although the government provided her with disability benefit, it was not enough to pay for her medical expense. and she could not breathe on her own. Her life was constantly in danger. The social worker in Ping Tong were very concerned and installed an alarm system at the house. Every time the alarm was triggered, it would alert the nearby police station to provide aid. Members of the police station would often go and visit her, but the police officer felt that no matter how often they visit, they could not take care of her daily need. Therefore, they refer her case to Ciji. Ciji volunteer promptly went to visit her and classified her as a long-term care recipient. They not only provide monthly financial assistance, but also carefully look after her in every aspect of daily living. However, because she has been suffering from her disease for such a long time, in addition to her unfortunate marriage and living situation, she was very depressed and short-tempered. She treated Suji volunteer like punching bags, and they had to endure verbal abuse each time they visited her. Two of the Suji volunteer often went to clean her home. For a whole year, they endured the verbal insult and sometimes even physical abuse. No matter how accomplished they were in their spiritual cultivation, inevitably they would grumble. Why should I have to endure her insult after going out of my way to help her? However, when such affliction arose, they would immediately become aware of themselves and tell themselves, we have vowed to dedicate ourselves to helping people, so we must endure these challenges. After reflecting on themselves, they continue to visit and care for her with a sense of gratitude, with the volunteer providing comfort, companion, and care for her over a long period of time. Miss Lee's strong, headstrong, and abusive personality slowly began to soften. With their loving guidance, she regained her vitality and sense of independence, and she is now able to go shopping at the market and participate in volunteer activities. Sometimes when Suji holds events, she goes up on stage in her wheelchair to share her story. She no longer insults people. Nowadays, the words that are most often on her lips are, thank you. So this word is a very beautiful word that can bring about a lot of harmony and joy and understanding. Whatever people do to help you, you should express your gratitude and thank them sincerely. If we do not take good care of our mind, and one thought gets astray, evil can enter our heart. That's why you must have mindfulness, fully aware, so that you can guard your senses. So sense restraint is not easy without the initial wisdom and mindfulness. That's why you need to cultivate sati sampajana, leading to initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. So without this, you can't take care of the negative thought or wrong thought, the evil roots. Then we cannot help but create and be led by negative karma. Who knows where we will end up? Negative karma lead Miss Lee to leave her hometown and to suffer much illness and hardship. Fortunately, she must have created some good karmic affinity in her past life, as she was able to encounter living bodhisattva in this lifetime to help relieve her suffering. So this is very true. You look at the way she go through her life, you will know her karma is such. Because of her karma, she must have encountered problem in her first marriage. Then, despite having two children and a husband, she decided to abandon them. That's why you don't do your duty, miss. You will have to reap what you sow. This is karma. As I finally, she went over to Taiwan. She also didn't have a good life. She has to pay through her coming past. Although married to an army veteran, but this army veteran take away all her earnings and she got no say and finally abandoned her. This is what you did to other people through selfishness, through delusion. So karma is you want to know your past, you look at your lifetime. Your life is a result or consequence of your past karma. That according to the Buddha, we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So whatever happened, you cannot blame. It's all karmically related. So when you understand this, you will be very, very careful about karma, which means you must take care of karma in order to take care of your life, to improve your life. If you don't take care of karma, you cannot improve your life. Yes, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditions supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So, karmic-wise, we need to take care of karma. So how to take care of karma? Follow the advice of the Buddha. Avoid all evil, do good, and purify our mind. How do we avoid all evil? Keep the five precepts minimum. So when we are able to keep the five precepts, we manage to avoid major evils. Because if you check the five precepts, who violates the five precepts? Only people who commit evil with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion will violate the five precepts. That's why keeping precept is very important. And the Buddha has already taught us where we always heard it from the Buddha chanting. Silena sukanti nyanti. Silena boga sampadan, silena nibanting yanti. So according to the Buddha, keeping precept is very beautiful and very important. There is a source of sukanting yanti, means source of happiness or joy. Keeping precept is also the source of spiritual wealth, boga sampadan. And keeping precept is also the source of peacefulness of mind, nibbanting yanti. So these are the mind state that you need to meditate to live life. Without joy, without happiness, without spiritual wealth, how can you live life? Without peacefulness of mind, how can you live life? How can you meditate? So keeping precept is very important. Without precept, samadhi cannot kick in, the meditation cannot take off. That's why meditation needs sila, leading to samadhi, then only bhavana. So sila samadhi leading to panya. Panya is wisdom. So when you have samadhi and panya, that is bhavana. Bhavana is the meditative training. Then the Buddha say the other important aspect for meditation is dana parami. If you have dana parami, generosity parami, it will help you. Then without dana parami, if your life is too tough, too much affliction, too much suffering, and misery, you know, a lot of karmic debt, karmic obstruction, then how can you cultivate? How can you meditate? Then without all this condition, without generosity parami, you can never develop what they call the wholesome merits. that you need generosity from me to give rise to materialistic wealth, materialistic inheritance, materialistic ability to perform goodness, wholesomeness, then to bring forth a good karma. So keeping precept is most important. Then from precepts, we can move on to cultivate, to meditate. Then when we meditate, we develop understanding, then we put forth the cultivation. That's why after avoiding all evil, the advice of the Buddha is to cultivate wholesomeness wherever there is condition. To do this, we need to follow Noble Eightfold Path. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. The four right effort. Yeah. So all this is what wholesomeness is all about. Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, because when you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path, you become a very noble person. Yeah. You are very noble in all aspects of life. So you have noble understanding of life. That's why you can have right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action. And all these are very beautiful virtues, or what we call wholesome action, wholesome speech, and wholesome thought process. Then the four right effort constantly purify us. So this will give rise to good karmic inheritance, good karmic nature. So by avoiding evil, doing good, we take care of our karma, then we can become beautiful. But the last one, purification of mind, is also important. If you don't develop wisdom born of Dhamma understanding, despite your materialistic wealth or success, you can also have problems. Yeah, when you come to confronting the reality of life and existence, as you go through life, you will encounter the eight realities of the first noble truth. Then without wisdom, you can still be afflicted. Suffering can still arise. Then it will affect you. So learning the Dhamma, understanding all this is very important. So going back to the sharing, we go back, then I will explain a bit more. So based on the karmic thing that this lady, Miss Lee, we know. If you want to know your past, you look at your life now, like Miss Lee, like I have explained just now. Yeah, she didn't take care of karma in the past. That's why this life she has so much problem, affliction, and all those things. But later on, luckily, because of her good, maybe in the distant past, she must have done a little bit of goodness to help people. Yeah? He encountered support from Tsuji, and he encountered living bodhisattvas in this lifetime to help relieve her suffering, and they were so patient with her. So in a way, she was quite lucky, yeah? Because of that good karmic affinity from her past life. So whatever goodness that you do is very useful. Yeah. So after taking care of karma, then you know how to live life, understand life. So the saying continue, you want to know what your future life will be like. You look at what you are doing now. So you don't take care of karma now. Don't cultivate this Dhamma way. Your future will be met with a lot of affliction, a lot of suffering, a lot of misery. That is what life is all about. To understand life is very important. Without the Dhamma, it will be a miserable journey to come. With the Dhamma, you will become beautiful. That's why our Buddhist teaching is very unique, very different from ordinary teaching that requires you to have blind faith to believe. Then if what you believe didn't come true upon death, if there is no such thing as the promised land, then what happened? You are stuck in between. It's like you didn't really benefit from that blind faith. So what is important is, before you die, you must understand life. My teacher used to share this. You must know how to die before you die. That one very important. Die before you die. So to die before you die means you must transcend birth and death. You must know what death is, who die, what die. When you understand that, you become beautiful. Then you will know how to die before you die. Then you will understand clearly what death is. In actual fact, for those enlightened beings who has awakened, who has the Dhamma, they will know no one dies. Because the reality is this form and mind is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomenon. It has a universal characteristics of impermanent, subject to suffering. And because it's impermanent, subject to suffering, it is therefore non-self, empty, not a permanent unchanging entity that you can grasp onto, cling on to, hold on to, and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, I can own all this. All this can be mine. This is wrong view, delusion. This form of mind, the human being, is just a vehicle and a tool for you to come to this existential world, to make use of it, to live life, to go through life, to experience life, to cultivate, to repay whatever karmic debt or fulfill your vows, etc. So make use of this vehicle and tool. Do not be deluded by it. Then you will not suffer, because you will have clear understanding. Okay, so we move on. I often said, we take nothing with us when we die. This is very true. Only karma follows us to our next life. So we absolutely must keep our mind on the right course and never astray from it, not even a little bit. If we are steadfast in carrying out our vows, deviant thoughts will not be able to entice us into losing our spiritual aspiration. Okay, before this, I explain a bit. So there is another way to explain this last paragraph in a more clearer manner. Because the Mahayana have this saying, Lai ye kong, qi ye kong, na mo shi zu wa ze, he bi ku ku wei kong liu lei. So for the benefits of those who don't understand Mandarin, I will explain this. The first verse, Lai ye kong, means when we are born into this world, we came to this world empty. You didn't bring along anything. Then when you leave this world, qi ye kong, means when you die, when your breath stops, your identity erased, you cannot take along anything. That's why you come empty, you return or go empty. Then why do you grieve over emptiness in between? You see the point or not? If the coming and the going is empty, not what you think, then why you strive so hard to own so much thing and don't know how to make use of them, and finally you don't get to take them along, and everything is the way it is. Because it doesn't belong to you. When you are alive, apparently society's law may recognize that you own, but you don't know how to make use of it upon your identity erased, your breath stopped. That's why the Buddha says separation is a reality. Whatever you think you own, you possess, you hold, your loved one, your prized possession, your wealth, your property, your status, all this, even your beautiful car, mansions or house, all your antics and things that you hold on to dearly, your loved ones, they were separate from you. So separation is a reality. But all these are conditioned arising entity, dependent originating, where conditions is to be, it was separate, it was this. So see this very clearly. Then do not be deluded or deceived by all this phenomenal world, the materialistic world. Then when you understand all this, you will not going, you will not grasp. You will know how to make use of all this. You will know how to live life in accordance. Then your delusion will be rooted out. Then your selfishness all has no more meaning, because everything follows nature's law. If it's meant to be, it will be. Whatever will be, will be. If it's not meant to be, it will never be. So if it's meant to be for you to own, the causes and conditions will arise, and you will own it, have it, then you will know how to make use of it. If the causes and conditions are not there, you cannot force things. You want things your way, but nature has its own way. So Dhamma way is follow nature's way. Dhamma is truth, the reality, suchness, tatata. That's how when you understand Dhamma, you understand truth, you understand the reality, and you will not argue with the reality, you will not fight the reality, you will understand the causes and conditions behind, you can be at peace. But then there is another aspect. Life within existence has its own reality. Even though in true emptiness all this don't exist, no reality, but there is such thing as life existence. That's why there are realities. And you know how to live life and know how to make use of this mundane mind. The user of this mundane mind is very important. With wisdom, you can use it. Then you can find meaning in life. Then life can also be wonderful, meaningful. That's why not one-sided. Not like some people think, oh, everything unreal, not true. Non-self, empty, impermanent, everything give up. Don't want to attach, don't want to think. That is not the understanding. The understanding is you can have things, but you don't attach and cling on to all these things. Like good food, you can have if there is condition, but you don't attach, cling and crave when there is no condition for it. So understanding is very important. Like last time I used to share this with a lot of Kehamita. Yes, a lot of my MU classmates that are close to me knows that I meditate a lot and I know the Buddhist teaching very deeply. Then they also know everything is impermanent, not real. Then one of them cracked a very good joke. He said, not real, your money, come, all give to me. So everybody was laughing. So when he say this, you understand, not real doesn't mean it's no use. Not real, it has its ultimate reality. As far as life is concerned, existence is concerned, wealth that are properly earned, or what we call accumulated, these are real wealth. There is reality there. You can make use of it. If the user of this wealth or whatever, money or what, if the user is wise, virtuous, then money become virtuous, money become beautiful, That's why the user of thought is the same like money. If you use money wrongly, negatively, means you use it for wrong means, like hire assassin to kill, to murder, cause disruption to people's economy, and riot, everything. That is negativity of karma. Wrong thought leading to all the negativity of situation. Means you use money negatively. But if you use it for noble situation or noble means, means charity, to help the poor, to help people in crisis and disaster, to help the underprivileged, to build schools, to improve people's life, then money become wholesome, beautiful, useful. So it's the user, it's like technology, it's the same. Do not blame technology. Technology is here to stay. It's the user of technology. We cannot blame that the internet is a source of pornography. That's why it's a source of problem, source of violence, and all those things. But it's the user of technology. If the user do not have understanding, then that thing becomes negative. So similarly, our thought process, our mundane mind, if we don't have wisdom connected, then this mundane mind will go the way of ignorance. With self-delusion, it will create wrong thought, karmic negativity, and lead us to suffering and misery. Then affliction will follow. So this is a very important understanding, even though lai ye kong, qi ye kong, but there is such thing as lai. There is such thing as exists. So we need to have good understanding of both the condition and the unconditioned. Then we know how to manifest. We will know there is no mark of a self-cultivating, no mark of living beings, no mark of others. There is also no mark of Dhamma, everything. In true emptiness, all these do not exist. But we live in the existential world. There is such a thing as a law of karma, such a thing as a form and mind, vehicle and tool for us to come. And there is such a thing as a bodhisattva vow. There is such a thing as cultivating Dhamma within the conditioned world to develop wisdom so that we can free the form and mind from delusion, from ignorance. So all these understanding are very important. No Mara can gain entrance, nor can any deviant views corrupt it. Impermanence, non-self, suffering nature, emptiness, and the four states of existence of all phenomena are inconceivable. The nature and appearances of the Dhamma are fundamentally empty and still, neither appearing nor disappearing, neither coming nor going. So this adapted verse is very profound. Then we go to note 37. Mara means these are personification of affliction and unwholesome thought. So this is their definition of Mara. So sometimes we talk about Mara in terms of cultivation. These are like evil beings that come and disturb cultivator. So sometimes Mara can also be from within your own wrong thought, your own fear, your own delusion, created by your illusion. So if you develop that type of energy field or thought-based meditation, one-pointedness or jhanas and all these things, then you will attract a lot of what we call Maras. In Mandarin or Mahayana tradition, they call Mo, Mo, Mo or Maras. So here, no Mara means these evil beings can gain entrance, nor can any deviant views corrupt it. This is for those who have the Dhamma. If you do it, the awareness-based meditation, you cultivate following the Noble Eightfold Path, the Buddha Dhamma's pure teaching, then you will be very safe. Then no Mara can enter because you develop mindfulness, leading to heedfulness. You are ever mindful, constantly meditative. Then you have the initial wisdom, Yoniso Manasikara. That's why no Mara can gain entrance, nor can any wrong view or deviant views corrupt it. Then you would have insight into the universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self, or empty nature or existence. Then you can see clearly the four states of existence, the arising, sustaining, decaying, and the cessation. So the four states of existence of all phenomena, they are really inconceivable. The nature and appearance of all Dhamma are fundamentally empty and still. This is from ultimate reality. Empty means empty nature of existence. It doesn't mean nothingness. Empty here is not nothingness. Empty here means empty nature of existence, means ultimately no reality. Because everything is not what you think, not real, dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena, a phenomenal world of consciousness. How real can it be? Consciousness come and go, thought come and go. As real as can be, is only within the moment. And how stable is the present moment? Split second is dead and gone. Split second is dead and gone. See this clearly within your silent mind. Realize it. You have to be silent completely and see all phenomena very clearly. The moment of its arising, sustaining, decaying, and cease. The four-stage cycle. You will continue to witness them, see them. It's like a flow. Then you realize everything is like that. Dependent, originating, condition, arising, cause of phenomena. No reality. Come and go, come and go. If there is no mundane mind to hold it, to give meaning, then there is nothing. That's why he know you, he know me. Everything is not what you think. No reality at all. That's why no mind of herself, no mind of others, no mind of beings, no mind of life, existence. Everything is not what you think. But there is such a thing as life, existence. Law of karma, the four noble truth, nature's law within the conditional. So do not be confused, thinking that everything is empty, unreal, not what you think, that finished. No, that is to prevent you from delusion, from suffering, from affliction. But when you live life, it's different. When you live life, there is such a thing as law of karma. There is such a thing as nature's law, existence. There is such a thing as the universe, living beings, science, technology, nature, everything. They exist. That's why it's not completely nothingness or empty. Empty here, the meaning is very deep, very profound. It's empty nature of existence. So when you can penetrate this, you penetrate the Dhamma, then you have the understanding of both sides, the unconditioned and the conditioned. Then you know how to live. Then life becomes beautiful, wonderful. Like what the Heart Sutta say, in true emptiness, wonderful existence, 真空妙有. So this is the understanding. We stop for meditation reporting.
Actually, I want to share something about my meditation.
Can. After that, we go to PG. Okay, you proceed. Proceed, yes.
Okay. Actually, what happened to me is a few weeks ago, actually. It's a few weeks ago.
Yes.
So I do my meditation as normal. Then during the meditation, I encounter something different, you know. During the meditation, I mean, I'm aware of what is happening, the awareness catch something. When I come out of the meditation, I realize that something is unusual. I have difficulty at that point in time, I feel that I had difficulty in breathing. So it happened a few times, you know. I felt a few times during the meditation itself. So I said, kind of weird, but when I come out,
can you describe what you do or not, and how we end all of that?
Actually, everything is as per normal. I do my meditation as per normal. Maybe I should put it in this.
Yeah,
way.
You should describe it.
I do my lying down meditation.
Yes.
And then I went to the awareness. And then during the awareness, right, I can pick up usually if let's say you want to go into unconscious state, you will have a first snore, right? And then you you become aware, right? Okay, but for my case, it is not like a first snore, but it's something very dull, kind of like something stuck in your throat like that, you know, stuck in your throat. Like somebody not there's something stuck in the throat like that lah. You during your meditation you're just aware but you're not reacting to anything, but you just say when you come out you say that this
no when the phenomena happen, Pocheng, are you relaxed? That's why you
have
to relax.
Yes.
No, when you relax, the throat cannot have anything. Well, when you relax, the passage all very clear one. It will flow.
Okay.
All your breathing become very normal.
Maybe I'll say
you,
something.
When let me finish this part first. You see, a lot of cultivator, they have this concept that actually let them do the wrong thing. I fear what is happening is you always listen to what I share, like just let things be, don't do anything. But the key behind this is relax. So if you are not relaxed and you didn't know, then you let things be, means you just aware, that is dangerous because you have throat problem and difficulty in breathing, means you are not relaxed, you are not in the normal state. So you have to take note of that and find out for yourself, because when we are doing this type of awareness-based meditation, we need to be in a real relaxed state. Then whatever that is not proper, you will know. Like you have a meal that is maybe not suitable or what, then you don't feel good, you want to belch or what, then you will know. Then you stop the meditation. You come out, you make sure you understand it and clear all this, then only go and relax and meditate again. Otherwise, sometimes when you have certain type of like throat problem or whatever problem, of course, when you are silent and aware, you can see it magnified, like the heat and all those things. That one is very good. But these are bodily conditions. Then you relax into it, then it will help you. Then you can endure that. If you need medication, you need to take certain type of liang cha or whatever, or drink something to suit your throat, you have to do it. So body is still a body, and we need to have the understanding that we need to relax into every mind state that arises. Then all these things will not happen. Because when you report that way, I realize you just let that thing happen. But in actual fact,
okay.
Maybe
I clarify a little bit first.
Yes.
What happened is prior to this, I went for my vaccination. Based on my investigation, I come to this understanding. But initially, I mean, it's not causing me any breathing difficulty or anything, nothing. It's just that the sound is different, and it happened a few times during the meditation.
It's the flow of the breath is not normal, is it?
The breath flow, the chi flow, is not normal. It's not normal.
There is something affecting your they call it the ENT area. Ear, nose, and throat.
So, if that is the case,
if you say you just have your vaccine, then you have to maybe develop understanding. That's why relaxation is very important. So I heard a lot of people having, after they have the first jab, they have this type of what they call symptom coming. After effect of the vaccine. Then different people are different. Some are very mild, some are more severe. So for those who are more severe, there is even heat buildup, headache, vomit, and other things. So you need to monitor. But most of the time, if you know how to relax and maintain awareness, it will actually help you. It will like make the thing better, heal you. But you need to rest, you need to take medication, you need. And if it's, you have an oximeter or not?
Actually, Brother Theo, maybe I finish my sharing then. Maybe
you finish first. Because
I don't want to confuse Kayamitas or what my sharing. Actually, what I'm saying is, because when after my medicine, vaccination, right? I developed the first vaccination. I developed a slight flu, but the flu get cleared in the day. The flu, the it's not really a flu. It's just that there's mucus in the nose.
Yeah, clear very it, mild. Very mild.
It goes away. It's cleared. Then during my meditation, right? Although it's cleared, I feel very normal. During the meditation, I find that maybe the right word to use is breathing. The breathing is different, I noticed where that is different. It's not snoring also. So it kind of repeat itself a few times. And then during a course of few session, right, it comes back again. Okay. But I'm relaxed. I'm aware. It's not causing me any problem. It's just that I noticed it's different. Okay, the right word maybe, but Brother Theo could.
Oh, because you use the word difficulty in breathing doesn't sound right.
At first, for me, I thought it's breathing difficulty, but actually it's not. It's just the sound of the breathing is different.
Yeah,
it's not like a snoring.
The flow is different. The flow is different. You can find out for yourself. Well, sometimes it's a bodily condition. Like sometimes when you have certain type of flu or what, your nose, the nostril, one side of it can be blocked. Then you have to relax, then only it will clear. Maintain awareness, then it will clear. Sometimes you have to move your body, move it either left or right. Then breathe through the nostril that can actually allow you to breathe normally. And that one is because body has this blocked nose problem. In the early days, I used to have that, but I know how to clear it through the meditation. But last 20, 30 years, I don't have such problem. I don't have blocked nose problem until so far, so good. Very good.
Actually, Brother, what I'm saying is that, you see, the daytime, when I'm doing my things, right, I don't have any flu, I don't have any symptoms of blocked nose whatsoever. It's
yeah.
just that the first vaccination, the following day, I had that slight mucus, and I clear, and then normal, no more problem. But during after that, my meditation keep showing this flow of breathing that is like not normal. Okay. But the thing is, Brother Teo, the amazing thing is this. I like I said, relax into it. Otherwise, I cannot go into this awareness. You know.
Yeah.
Okay, the stillness. Although it's unusual, Brother Teo, a few sessions. But this thing heal by itself. You know, it's all like what you say. It's like. Healing, flushing out whatever problem you have in your system, you know, it just clear. Because after that, the last session I have, right, I noticed the breathing, it showed to me that weird breathing flow. After that, the next one, the flow is back to normal. It's very clearly, distinctly, it's different, you know.
Maze is helping you to clear certain things.
Yes.
That is different from cannot breathe. The way you describe, you panic people.
No, not to panic. That's why I say it's not exactly cannot be. It's just that
the flow, the rhythm is different. Yeah. That one is normal. That one.
At first, for me, it's like unusual that I say, never mind, let it be first, because I feel very relaxed and normal, you know.
No, because that one is a bodily condition. Could be you go for the vaccine and all those things. And sometimes it can have this type of thing. It's just like not necessarily the breathing. I can give you other example. It is like certain part of your body. There is something there blocked or whatever. Then the awareness will go there or not. Will go there or not. Then you will know. Oh, there is something there blocking. Then you relax into it. You're silent. After a while, you will clear. You will clear. It will clear. But it is a very like severe type of blockage, like artery and all those things. So don't go and waste time to use this pure energy to help clear. The minor one, it can clear. Like my angina, cannot, because the major artery, I got three major artery from the aorta come out. Then these three, two of them are blocked. One of them is 99 or 100% blocked. That one is very long. That one needs two stems. Two stems is almost, I think, 2 inches of blockage. And that one you cannot clear. That one you need the doctor to do the angioplasty to actually clear it, then put in the stem. Then the other one, 70% one, is okay. Then for me, what happened is I played badminton when I was young. Then I have this natural, they call it natural capillaries or bypass, natural bypass that allow the 100% block one to still sustain me. That's why the doctor say you're supposed to collapse already. I don't know why. You can still move around and do all these things. But because of that natural bypass, the capillary thing. So when it's a bodily condition, you need medication, you go for medication. Ours, we can heal flu or running nose or whatever. That one I heal very fast. I need to rest one whole night. The next morning, I will recover. But when it comes to cough and all those things, the virus thing, cannot. I realize it takes a long time and no point wasting time. I would rather go and see doctor or take my own medication. Well, after going through all this, I know what to do. That's why I will recover. I will recover. So you have to find out for yourself. Okay? So if it's what you describe, like the rhythm, the breathing rhythm become like different from normal, then finally clear is very good. Means you know how to relax into it and allow it to be, then it clear. But if it's something like difficulty to breathe or what, you better check the oximeter for your oxygen level and all those things. You know, after the vaccine, some like complication may happen, but very rare. So you have to find out. Yeah. Okay.
Correct. It's for me. I know that I'm okay. Everything is okay. It's just that the rhythm of the breathing is not normal, and then it happened a few times. And then when I wake up from it, I feel very normal. It's nothing, you know. Hmm. And I don't have a flu. You know, if I have a flu, I would take medication. Yeah, but yeah, I don't have a flu. You know, but it's just unusual for me, like. So I say it's very unusual that I have this, and I'm feeling okay. You know. So it's like strange for me, like, at that time, and then now that I clear it, you know, it is the trust itself. I mean, the trust
yeah,
actually
the trust like nature, huh? But yes, you have to make sure you are in a relaxed state. If you are in a relaxed state, everything will go back to normal. Yeah? It's a nature's way of healing the body. And sometimes if you detect certain type of bodily condition that cannot be easily clear or healed, then you need to seek medical attention. You seek, like, some of this, okay, sometimes you need treatment. Like Vincent used to come and treat me because I sit too much in the meditative years when I was 20 something to 50 over to 60 years old. I sit a lot, sit very long until the lactic acid, according to Vincent, build up. Then it starts to give my body problem. That's why I know when I was there with the awareness, wow, there is something blocked there. Then he came and really dispersed it. You know, Vincent, a lot of strength. He hit me for 1 hour. Normal people, 5-10 minutes or so cannot take it already, but I endured for 1 hour. And it was 2 times, but so far so good. After that, until now, touch wood, I think 2 over years really, I'm back to normal. So now I know how to relax. I know how to like do some exercises that he teach me. Then I nowadays don't sit cross-legged on the cushion for very long already. I try to sit on a proper, what we call, this usual armchair that has good cushion. Then I also prefer to do lying down meditation. Where I lie down, I relax, then I recuperate. Every time I lie down, I recuperate. So body is still a body. It goes the way of nature. As we age, many of these things will arise. Then normal people will have rheumatism, knee problem and all those things, but so far so good, touch wood, I don't have any of this problem yet. I only have a bit of this back. I don't call it a problem also. It's sometimes when I sit too long, then it gives me some form of problem. Which is not really a problem that I can endure, but I know it's not normal already. It means I need to rest already. I need to either lie down or walk around, then I rest, then I don't sit for so long. But so far, with the cushion chair, it's a lot better than sitting on the floor. Even until the age of about 60, when I teach at the retreat, 9 days old, non-stop, almost sitting or not. That's why only the last 2 years I remember they decide to put me on the armchair. I think Thomas bought the armchair, which was very good. I think 2 or 3 years, I think 2 years, which was very good. So now at home I also use this red color one. I sit on this easier. Okay, Pacheng, you continue.
Yes, what you say is correct. When the awareness nature detect your bodily issues, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if it can be healed by itself naturally, that is the best. But if not, like, well, in the past, I had one case, I have to take antibiotics, you know. It actually able to Yes, you're able to detect your bodily problem.
Because normal one we can heal, we can recover. But when it comes to virus, cannot. I realize virus that cause irritation, cough or whatever. Oh, that one cannot. That one, you really need medication. Then severe blood clot and all those things also, you need to see doctor, you see doctor. Because this is basically a physical body. Then over the years as we age, in fact, for men, especially men, monkey blockage is very common. So for men, my advice is you better go and do a heart scan, check your artery. Sometimes your heart may be perfect. My heart was perfect at the time. I did the, they call it the ECG, come out perfect, very good. Then I did the cardiac output, also very good. My heart, the valve got no leakage, nothing. Everything was very good. Then I went on stress test, the treadmill. I also passed. Then the only problem that I had was because my artery, one of them was 100% blocked and very long blocked. So that one, not until they do the CT scan, they couldn't confirm it or locate it. So I was lucky, I went for second opinion, then it was confirmed. Then I decided to go through the operation, the procedure, and the doctor was very good, Dr. Wong. So all this we will understand. Yeah, we have the mindfulness and the awareness. We are very sensitive and we know which part got problem. And all these things we can actually, through our mindfulness, we can detect it or sense it. Then whatever that is not proper, my nature can know. Then normally there is some warning sign, like my heart thing, the angel thing. 3 months before it happened, that nature inside there tell me, you better go and check your artery. Then I said, nothing wrong, what for I go and check? Exactly 3 months later, I had this, they call angina, angina means angina, real heart attack. When I admitted, I still don't know. They immediately, I went through with the ambulance, I know, based on that sign 3 months ago, I tell myself, if anything happened, I will immediately self-admit. Then I admit. Then when I admit, the moment I reached there, they did an ECG. And that first ECG, there was angina. That first one only. But I didn't know. Because after that, they immediately jabbed me. I think it's a blood thinning jab or what. Then I felt relieved straight away. Then I become normal again. Then I said, can I be discharged? I feel normal now. The doctor came and told me, I said, Mr. Theo, do you know what happened to you? You actually had a heart attack. I said, what you mean? Then he showed me the ECG, the elevation, elevator, they call it angina. Angina. I also don't know what that word is until later on I go and Google. But after that, every few hours later, they did the ECG, no more of this type of elevation. Then for 4 days, 3 nights, I think I stayed in the hospital. That time was, I remember, 2013, near to Chinese New Year. That night, I supposed to have our annual Kayanamia Mita dinner, I think. But I couldn't make it. I call out Yun Chan and ask Yun Chan to inform them. So that time was 8 years ago already. So all this is very interesting and you will know. Then you will go through. You will understand. So whatever that need medication, please go and see the doctor or the specialist. Then find out from them, seek their advice, then also check it out with others who recover. Then go for good advice. Then especially you need the advice, Dr. Janta is very good. You can see him, he's a doctor. So make use of Janta. He also have hemopathy, is it? Homeopathy medication. He's very good in homeopathy, I think. They have this society, I mean, where they look at that type of alternative medicine. I think he has been helping quite a lot of people. So he's good. From the way he talk to people, I can sense that he's good. So make use of him. Okay, Pocheng, you continue.
Yeah, Bharatiya, thank you. That's why I shared this small meditation reporting because Dr. Jayanta is here. So he probably able to have his so-called
expert opinion.
Expert opinion, yes, yes, yes. Anyway, Bharatiya, not to worry. This is you see, what I'm trying to say is at the end of my investigation is this awareness nature is really amazing. It can help you to detect your bodily issues early stage.
Yes.
And then where it can resolve the problem, right? Help you clear the problem, right? You will do it. If not, you have to, like you say, seek a medical attention, a treatment, you know?
Correct.
Yeah. So not to worry, everybody, not to worry. Just that I want to share that after my so-called vaccination, I had this encounter. So at first, I was just thinking when I wake up from it, I was just saying, "Hey, how come my breathing is different? Do I have difficulty breathing?" I mean, this came into my thought actually. Is there a difficulty in breathing? No, I don't have
any problem. Actually, no.
Everything is well. I cannot. There's no mucus, there's no phlegm. You know, that kind of thing. So I did that kind of investigation, you know, and check my bodily function, you know.
As long as you are relaxed, it will help you on. It will not make the condition worse on. Always remember, if you are relaxed, it will heal you. But certain type of bodily condition that is more serious or more severe, need to see doctor, please go and see doctor.
Advice. Correct. Like my inflammation of my cheek, yes.
Share last time.
The doctor for the medication. You know, that kind of thing. This awareness nature is very amazing, you know, it can help you to detect this and tell you that you need doctor advice, you treatment, you better go. I didn't have any issue at all because I check everything no problem. It's just when I do my meditation, it's just unusual, you know, that kind of thing. But subsequently, as I do, I noticed there is a change in the right word is the breathing pattern again.
Yeah, the breathing pattern or the rhythm of breathing. When you finally go through it clear, it go back to normal. No problem. That one is usual. So you will know it's a bodily condition that you will clear. It will clear for you.
Correct. So is the reason I also say vaccination is because after the vaccination, there's the observation that
In fact, you should actually during that time rest more. And you need to drink more water, vitamin C, vitamin D, or what, to actually strengthen your immune system. You need to.
I did all those. You know, I don't do much work. I don't do cooking. Rest more, you know. So I also meditated, that's why I also meditated. You know, that kind of thing. And that is when I feel that there's a difference in my flow of breathing.
So you want to share,
So that you're aware of it, you know, if you're aware of it, then you will know that it will get cleared, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you know how to relax into it, silent, you are clear.
Yes. So it's nothing, but it's just that it keep repeating. So I was like, try to tell you all that it does repeat, you know, although there's nothing wrong with me, but it does repeat in my next session.
Initially it's like that, because it will show it to you for a few times.
Good evening, Brachio, Mr. Steele.
Yes.
And all parameters. Actually, I wanted to ask Dr. Dianta to share, because it's very rare that we get him into.
Very good. Okay.
And also, his birthday. So, I want to wish him a happy birthday. And Dr. Dianta, may all your noble aspiration be realized. Dr. Dianta, please.
And all my kind mentors, thank you so much again for your well wishes and birthday wishes. It's overwhelming, and as Rajah always says, that kind the first most important thing in the sutta mentioned is kind mentors.
Kind mentorship.
Today also, because one special kind mentor, I changed my phone. And what happened is I lost many of my friends' numbers are all the same. One of Kamitas actually messaged me privately using a I think it's the poaching, I don't know who, sorry if I somebody invited me to come tonight. For the he said, why not you come and join the Zoom and we celebrate. Then I was thinking, which Zoom? Was very busy. So what day is it? I didn't know it's a relative's class on Tuesday. So I what Zoom number? Then she sent me the link. Why not? I'm free today.
So
Singapore Kilometer. I'm not sure who you are, but please, thank you. That is the first gift I think I get from my company.
Dr. Dianta, it's me.
So I think the second gift they gave to me today was to your sharing itself, and I think I really understand what Brother Teo mean by really totally relaxed and aware. I think Sir Pushin, maybe you should listen back to the recording and your interaction with Brother Teo. Really, there is that part that Brother Teo want to emphasize that it really relaxed. Because if I feel, I know, from my hearing as a third party, I do agree Brother Teo mentioned that there was the relaxation part is not there. Yesterday, even for this class, I don't know why, I also mentioned the same thing to my my youth group. I told them that before we go for vaccination, the night before, we need to be totally relaxed. White people get fever, white people get headache after you get vaccinated. Because of your body
Tense up.
After the vaccination. Because, like me, for sure, I'm very scared of needles, so I prolong my time lucky or not, it's a global thing, so as a frontliner we must take, so I have it in mind. But what I'm saying here is I agree with you that if you don't relax the day before, the night before, I think the pattern is when one gets fever, it's because of the night before they are very stressed out. What will happen to me? And the body just react. They become feverish, and they worry too much. So it's like a mental and physical effect after that, Brother Teo. I totally agree, Brother Teo. You say was really, really supported my idea, and I'm like, wow. and also today's sharing of the mystery. A gentleman just like tears my eyes. So like I think I met Brother Teo during Brother Teo's first retreat at Sumeru.
Sumeru.
I met you and I followed you for quite some time. And a white piece of paper I was so amazed and mesmerized by your sharing, your teaching. I understand so easily, and I think if Chin Hao can be my witness, one day he fetched me back from your class.
Yeah.
Because people find friends, ask me, you can understand what Baratus here. I think it's so easy. I don't know why, because of my karma or what have I done, I really asked for forgiveness, but until I went off, I was lost in some sort. I went to search for more. I was eager to really thought that the Abhi Dhamma or whatever I can learn. I went to Myanmar, I got scholarship. After that, I came back, I remember very clearly that I was stunned that I can't even understand a single word in one of the class.
First day class there, yes, I remember. Few sessions, he was completely knocked out, like confused. Because what he learned is opposite of what I teach. Everything I share and teach is completely like the other way around. Then I told him, I remember, I said, don't worry. Sooner or later, when you start to understand, all this will fall into place, then you will understand. Well, all the sharing at that time was awareness-based. Then how to develop sati, mindfulness, is completely different from what has been traditionally taught by others. Their emphasis on method, technique, and all those things. What is awareness, sati? They don't understand. Then the direct seeing, awareness before the knowing, the silent mind. Nobody knows. Nobody understands. Then that true mind, that true nature, then that stability of that mindfulness, the daily mindfulness, the awareness nature. Without that, you cannot see. You cannot understand. Without that, you only start to have some knowledge of the words, the Dhamma words, the Dhamma teaching. These are all knowledge, thought-based. So, knowledge cannot give you wisdom. It gives you certain type of like Dhamma knowledge which you believe, you know, you understand. But when you come to realize situation, you cannot handle. The fear is there, the worry is there, the anxiety is there, the unhappiness, the mind stir and react, the heavier tendency keep on coming back. And you realize you can't do anything. Then that heedless thinking is like non-stop. That mind chatter a lot, like a monkey mind. Think a lot, worry a lot, reactive, complaining, and all those things. It's hardly aware, hardly mindful, hardly peaceful, hardly tranquil, still. And all those mind states, they cannot explain. They cannot experience. And because they can't experience, they cannot understand what is awareness-based meditation. They cannot realize their true mind. That's why they can never understand what I share. Well, what I share comes from the silent mind, comes from that true mind. Without that silent mind and true mind to understand, to awaken, you cannot understand my teaching, because my teaching is awareness-based. So very true. That one I remember, that time, that Thursday class. Then luckily, after that, you continue for quite a while. You, like Sri Anand, also amazed by you. You take the trouble to drive all the way from Malacca to attend the class. Then only the next day or what, you do your routine and you go back. You always come with Ananda, remember that time. So that time was the turning point. Because a lot of people were like you. A lot of traditional teachings. Even Chin Hao was so confused for many years, cannot get it, until Song, Brother Song, gave him faith. And now, last 2 years, he progressed a lot, improved a lot, and now he's so different. He's no longer that excited, agitated type. Very easily worry, you know, last night Chin Hao, small problem only, the fear, the worry, you can see in him now. He like not himself. While talking to him, he is not paying attention. But now he's so different. Now he can understand. He has clarity. He can meditate. then he can listen, and now he is so happy with his life, and a lot of things has changed. He understands the Dhamma differently, and he is able to apply them. So now he can see, then he can talk to those who really have progressed. And he has a lot of joy. He likes to discuss with that Brother Chong or whatever. There's one new people. So these are the result of the benefits of learning the true Dhamma, awareness based. So for you, it will slowly come as you listen, you read through the transcript. It will actually benefit you. The unique code, Jan Ta, go and read and understand it. That one is all pointing towards the silent mind, the true mind. Winnings, first hallmark, no thought. Yeah. If you don't realize the true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature, you cannot meditate. But that is the mind that you need to use beyond thought, beyond mind. That is our true mind, the meditative mind. So all this, when you slowly get yourself settled down, familiar with the words and the understanding, then when you read again, it becomes very different. Then when you meditate with understanding, underscore that word, you become very different. You will progress like you know. You said last time cannot understand. Well, the mind very eager to do. The mind very eager to question whether I'm doing it right or not, whether I'm following Brother Teo's instruction or not. That one make the thought active. When the thought is active, you cannot be silent, you cannot be mindful, you cannot be aware. Well, man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are aware or you are lost in thought. Yeah. Then there was one session, the sharing, I think a few sessions back. I remember this lady, what's the name of that lady? Lorita, is it? Lorita, also from Singapore when she attended. Oh, that one I explained the awareness-based meditation very clear. Oh, that one got conditioned to receive. You listen to that one again. It will give you the full understanding. Okay, Jayanta, you continue. Your sharing is very good on the immune vaccine.
So before I forget about it, just now, your first sentence was, the Dhamma is within, not to
not without.
Outer. So it's like searching, actually, and two gifts that I learned from today's class was the Dhamma to be realized from within, and what is this? You come to this world and be nothing, and you
nothing. Yes.
So I was very, very strong to holding that principle. And reality of life.
Yeah.
I actually sold my apartment, my police car, I gave up everything. I
thought,
it's a simple life, right?
That's good enough. Yeah.
But that's what I see. And after but today I realize again from just sharing that.
Yeah.
You just have to face the reality that money is important and to support us in
the cultivator. That's why dana is important. Yes.
There is another aspect to the spiritual cultivation that is life itself, existence. It has its reality. Then like the Buddha say, the teaching is to teach you not to be deluded and deceived by the mundane mind, which without wisdom grasp, cling, and hold on to things. So the teaching say, don't attach. He doesn't say, give up everything. He doesn't say, don't own anything. No, there is such thing as life, existence. That's why there is such thing as a virtue of Dana Parami. To do Dana Parami, you must have some form of wealth, or possession, or materialistic assets, or whatever. Then you don't go and hold too much of it. There's no meaning. How much can you spend? How much can you sleep? You need a space of so big. But if you can afford, if there is condition for that good life, like good food, why not? But you understand, these are condition arising situation. If I have the means, the condition, I can have it. But I must know how to use it. I must not be deluded by it. I must not go and create craving for it, desire for it, want to compare and have more and more, then go and do all those things. No point. That is driving. That's why for me, I retire early because simple life, like you say. When Sui graduate, I decided to call it a day at the age of 46 plus. I retire, do the thing I want to do. Then for me, I know I have to at least have some form of financial freedom so that I don't have to depend on others or depend on people for support. That's why even when I start to come out to share my Kayanamaita ship, I don't have problem with funds and money, and I don't have to depend on people's donation offer. No, I myself is self-sufficient. You read that book with Success in Life, the next sharing on Sunday on this book is going to be very useful. This one, I wrote everything here. The materialistic success and spiritual success. The successful life covers both materialistic, the mundane and the super mundane, and the spiritual aspect. And I achieved the pinnacle of life success, the materialistic and the spiritual. Both I succeeded and I reached the pinnacle of it. And I live a very, very beautiful life. I have beautiful family, beautiful children, wife, spouse, even my brothers and sisters. Everything is really like you can never believe it can be so beautiful, so perfect, such harmony. And all my siblings, everybody is still healthy, still around, except some of two of my brother-in-law, they passed away. The rest are all still around. And we had all the good things in life, whatever we want. We do the things we want to do. That is life. We live life. Then we have the means, we can afford. Sometimes we need to travel, we travel. We need to have spiritual trip. We hold spiritual trip. Then I can do what I want to do in life. Conduct meditation. Do spiritual sharing and also Dhamma sharing, and also advise people on other things, like Yun Chan used to say, not only the Dhamma, I also have a lot of understanding of other aspects like investment and all property and other things. Yeah, these are my forte, the area where I'm very good at. So when it comes to understanding life, I have very good understanding and I can help a lot of people. That's why I share a lot of this Dhamma understanding to help people come out of depression, come out of their mental problem, their even financial problems sometimes, or life problem, a lot of life related things. Mm. So for you, Yanta, you can also help a lot of people where you have a very good medical training, your medical skill understanding. If you complement it with the Dhamma, you will become beautiful. You can become very, very, really useful, blessing to many. Very good, and sadhu to you. So hopefully with this understanding, you can also progress and develop the understanding and be a blessing to all. Sadhu. Okay, you can continue a bit more if you want to. Then maybe,
Yes, maybe for all who are attending here today, I'd like to share from my experience and some knowledge about this vaccine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, ehi pasikula, what would I have mentioned, yeah, that is, you really need to know what you are undergoing, yeah. I am not totally against and I'm not totally accepting this additional vaccine. As I told my Tracy and my group yesterday, this vaccine is to develop a vaccine, it takes years. It's not an overnight thing, and it's become a global global effect where everybody is worried and kind of stuff, and fear has been put in, and that's where the scientists just come up with something and say, oh, this is the cure or this vaccine. But there is one that means 0.01%, means 1 out of 100 people still able to be affected with COVID.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you must understand this virus is also a being, and they are now, they are smart, they are able to work hand in hand with another virus from another country, developing a strong strain of
new variant.
Yeah, they are much faster than scientists now. So
we
have to be strong body and mind.
We are
going, because basically, as I told the Tracy, they all they didn't do homework on the BMI. That means your body mass index, age, your lifestyle, your health, whether you're diabetic, you are on blood thinning, medical background. Sorry, I think people assume me, but it's a fact that we need to know. You need to do. You, what is your body? Is your vehicle? You need to know whether this
vaccine
how much is needed. But this, they are doing this general amount. Everybody will be given this much. And doesn't mean relative at 60 plus.
Seven,
at 30s, having the same amount, because
correct.
Our national archer, Malaysian national archer, actually. Sorry to say, possibly, I guess right after vaccine, many kids are close because they are strong. And because when you are strong, your immune system is so strong, put a stronger vaccine to your body, it will fight back.
You
have to understand all this condition before you go for vaccine. Don't just, my friend, go for vaccine. Okay, let's register together. Very, very dangerous. We have many cases, being published up. In short, it's true, it's good, because they don't make fear. Vaccine.
Necessary fear,
So, both ways, it's good and bad, but we have to follow the, Buddha said, follow the law that you're standing on. So have put the force that we all have to take vaccine. And so please go with a happy heart, happy mind. But as I wasn't around for the last few months because my team, we are also working hard to get support our immune system for an antidote. We call it to get the immune system to able to accept the vaccine. That means
that was very important.
Only acknowledge what the vaccine, but vaccine itself, is the mRNA from the COVID virus. It's actually a part of the COVID virus. Your body. So if your body does not know that this is a alien or something that's new to the body, they will not accept it positively. That's where you get a lot of complication and clot. This is all because of your body. It's not
great.
So we came up with an antidote, but we can't publish it because this is all too fast. Please feel free to inform me if you're going for a second dose, but usually the first, especially Malaysia. Now, Americans have already delayed for 3 months. Ours was only 2 weeks, not 21 days. Because the first, in order for a vaccine to be able to work fully in the body, it takes 2 weeks, rather than two. You are still unstable and you go for second jab. Trouble. So good if you you trust me, you trust homeopathy, take our antidote.
They were very useful.
I still have them.
Mine is on the 17th of June. So 3 days before that, I must start taking. One day before the jab.
Yes. The day before. The day itself and the day after. Why the day before is until we over the years we have taken a lot of antibiotics, we take a lot of chemicals. We might not take our body much, supplements and kind of stuff. So we might be more toxic than good things. So at least throw out some, I mean, neutralize some of the toxic or the heavy material.
Yeah.
That comes in, has space to for the body to actually be strong to actually agile with it. The day itself is to prepare the body to undergo that strong vaccine that's going to put into the body.
Okay.
And the third day is to neutralize, and means to flush out whatever that's not needed. Because the body is smart. Body and mind is so smart. They know what is good and what is bad.
They
don't want to kill themselves and die like that.
I ask you a more specific question. Mine is 17 June 9 a.m. Morning, together with my wife, AstraZeneca, the first dose. So on the 16th morning, I take that one.
Yeah, empty stomach, early morning.
Early morning, just early morning. Underneath the tongue.
Underneath the tongue.
Let it dissolve. So how many tablets? 3, isn't it?
4.
Oh, 4, okay.
4.
Two types.
The medication for medication for COVID is one type, but this is for the antidote.
The
body to gel to be able to accept the vaccine. Two types gradual. The first bottle and second bottle. You take four pills from the first bottle.
Okay.
And wait for 5 minutes. Once it dissolves, finish. You take the second.
Same day lah.
Okay, same day. Same time.
Just
at the same period of time, you must take the first. After followed by second.
So after 5 minutes lah.
After 5 minutes, or you can just rinse your mouth a bit.
React
to this. Too strong medication.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah. Then after that, the next one means evening. After I have my jab in the morning and night. Before I go for jab,
three morning.
Three morning.
Consecutive morning, but the day before, the day itself, the day after. Then I say how it works is because the day before is to wash out all the toxins that we have put in your body.
The day before means on the 16th. 16 morning. Then 17 morning also I have to take.
Yes, brother.
Then after that, 18 morning.
That's for your first jab, brother. Then if you have to take a second jab, then...
That is about 12 weeks later.
Yeah.
12 weeks later. Mine, they schedule 12 weeks later, which is better.
Then have a good rest, Matthew.
Hey, no problem. That one, no problem. For me, it's normal. I take this one before. When I was young, I also take the jab before the vaccine. Then I also, my classmate administered the pneumococcal and the flu jab. That one, no problem. That one I've been taking. Very good so far.
These are all very mild ones, but this vaccine is very strong.
Oh, this one is very strong.
You're fighting virus. You're taking put in your body to fight them. Not friendly to your own body, and they might be. It depends. I don't know.
Thank you so much for your good advice, Dr. Janda.
At least, please, you don't want to take the antidote. Have a good rest the night before. Relax. That's very, very important. Your body be ready for a strong medication. It's very, very strong. Sadly, we have to do it. Okay? So don't say no. It's a must.
Very good. Thank you so much, Janta. I think we have to end. We are getting late already. So thank you so much for your sharing and coaching sharing. So let us rejoice. Sadhu.